Jackie Tantillo here, your host of Should Have Listened to My Mother, where we have weekly conversations about my guest's relationship with her mom. Are you who you are today because of or in spite of your mother? If you'd like to share your story about your relationship with your mom, email me at jackie@shouldhavelistenedtomymother.com. You have to write out the whole thing. Or check out my Should Have Listened to My Mother pages on Facebook and Instagram. Today's guest, I grew up with on Long Island in Garden City, you haven't spoken to in many years, and yet on Facebook I saw that she had posted a beautiful post about missing her mom. And I want to introduce you to this week's guest, Susan Gust Fields. Again, we haven't spoken in a while, but her post was very, very touching about her mom. So welcome to Should Have Listened to My Mother, Sue.
Hi, how are you, Jackie?
Good, 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 good. And again, it's great catching up. Now, your post on Facebook, why don't you tell everybody, our listeners, what you had posted? We'll start there.
Sure. I basically had two pictures of my mom. And then there's this poem that always kind of got me that basically says that your mother is always with you because, you know, that she is, you know, Christmas lights on Christmas morning. She is the wind on, you know, an autumn day. And she is a hug when you need it. Something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing. So because every April 21st, my mom has passed, it's 22 years, it always kind of brings me back. I mean, every day I remember my mother just looking at my children. You know, there's so many things that they do remind me of her. My daughter looks a lot like her, and some of her facial gestures kind of throw me off a little bit because it literally takes me back. I'm like, whoa, you can definitely see the generational thing. So that's really what the post was about, just remembering her and, you know, honoring her, which I try to do every day.
Because she passed away in April of 1998, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so it's been something like 22 years, I think you said, that she...
Yes.
That's a long time.
It really is. My son was like 3... My daughter was 7, but you know the thing that's so wonderful? My daughter has definite stronger memories than my son. My son just has a few, but my mom kind of took care of, well, she did take care of my kids, so it was awesome. So what happened was is my mom brought my daughter to, you know, nursery school and kindergarten at St. Joe's, and she became friends with kind of like my adult friends. And to see people from... You know, that, like my adult friends mentioning my mother, and then going all the way back to my high school friends who I grew up with having fond memories of my mother. That just kind of shows me or reaffirms that my mom really affected so many people's lives that I had no idea about. You know, and every year I kind of see that, or I'll see someone, you know, in town and be like, oh man, I was thinking of your mother. I had Mentos because my mom used to give the kids Mentos when she was younger. You know, which is, I was like, wow, that's so funny. You know, I was like, oh man, so getting sugar on them, you know, getting them back. But, you know, it's so touching to me. And it's amazing, honestly, that she had such an effect.
Why don't we share your mom's name?
My mom's name is Ann Gust.
And is that her married name or maiden name?
That's her married name. And her maiden name, this is a big one, was Antoinette Feminella.
Awesome. So Italian.
Yeah, total. Total Italian. Total Italian. And my dad was German. My dad was much older than my mom. My dad was married before, and his first wife passed away, and he had a child, my sister, from that marriage. My sister was much older than I was, and we kind of lost touch. So realistically, you know, our family lost touch. She moved and went to Massachusetts. So my childhood, I kind of basically remember it was just the three of us, and then it kind of became, my dad died when I was 15, it really just became the two of us.
Right. So you guys had a total bond.
We had a total bond. You know, we definitely had a total bond between the two of us. So that's, you know, she cooked dinner every night for myself, my kids, you know, my husband, the whole thing. And when she passed, it was really, it like shook me to the absolute core.
In eighth grade, right? As it should.
No, that was my dad.
When
my dad passed.
Right, you were in eighth grade, yeah. Which rocked your
grade.
World.
Right, that was my world. So, yeah. You know, it was a real big... But my mom, and it was funny because you kind of, you know, you reflect on things now that you're older, at least I do. I kind of remember my aunts coming over immediately. And kind of, you know, the sister bond was really going on there. And you just see how the strong, you know, family kind of helped and helped us get through that time. But then when they left, it really was just the two of us, you know, my mom and I. And my sister would, you know, come back and forth, but she had her own life, so with kids and things like that. So it kind of, she, you know, just stayed in Massachusetts, and she was dealing with her own grief also.
Right. She mourned on her own with her family.
With her family, exactly.
Can you tell me, was your mom from a large family?
My mom was from a large family. She was one of seven. She was the baby.
Just like me.
She was the baby. She had, I'm going counting in my head, she had three sisters, three brothers. Duh, that's seven. And they all, except one, passed away before her. One of my uncles was killed in the war. Another one was killed in a construction accident. Another one just died of, you know, heart attack. Mm-hmm. And then my aunts, you know, passed with cancer and things like that. And my last surviving aunt just passed a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
she
that's
actually
hard.
Outlived her siblings by 30 years, my aunt.
That's incredible. Yeah. So it was your mom's large family that stood by her in her time of grief, right? And
right.
This huge struggle. And mm-hmm. I'm assuming she's Italian, so religion played a role in this and spirituality to help her through this, or not so much?
You know, it did a little bit. We had, you know, one of my aunts was extremely, you know, we used to almost joke about it. She was extremely religious, so she kind of covered the religious end of it. It was actually her oldest sister. Her, you know, spirituality and my mom's religion was more to herself. You know, it was funny. She wouldn't go to church every Sunday, but yet you go on her nightstand and she had all the saints.
Yeah. So I know that.
You know, so she did it in her own way, mm-hmm. on her own time.
And
which was very interesting.
So you're in eighth grade. Your dad dies suddenly. Your mom, what does she do?
Well, you know, our whole kind of world flipped. My dad owned his own jewelry business, and back, I think when I was in maybe third grade, his plant caught on fire. So they kind of lived through that. You know, it was basically demolished. So we got another plant in East New York. They did that for a while. My mom worked with my dad, so what she then moved... She started working for one of his clients for a little while, helping him, you know, finish the jewelry and things like that, because my mom knew how to do all those type of things. So she did that until I think I was a senior in high school, and then she worked for Waldner's, which was on Old Country Road, which is no longer there, like a stationery store.
What was it like after your dad died? How did she try and help you through this struggle?
Well, she tried to maintain some form of order, like, you know, about, she immediately took both roles on quickly because she kind of had to shift. You know, she was a mom, and then all of a sudden she became like the mom and the dad.
And the main breadwinner.
And the main breadwinner and, you know, the person who's keeping up the house, because we didn't sell our house until I was in a senior mm-hmm. in high school. So, you know, we did that when I was going away. So she really, you know, did everything. And when I think about it as an adult now, how much it is to maintain a home, no less, you know, have a child who's in, you know, eighth grade and going through all that stuff that girls go through and all that other stuff that you're dealing with, I just sit back and I'm like, I don't know how the heck she did it. I really don't.
We were pretty clueless, really, weren't we?
We were totally clueless.
Oh, my gosh. Now, that's why I'm doing this podcast. To help us maybe teach or, you know, somehow the younger generation could maybe hear some of these brilliant messages that we're trying to send down to them. I have the wherewithal now that I didn't have when I was a kid, you know. I think we have those regrets.
Absolutely. You know, I was really, you know, my mother definitely had a very strong personality, very, very strong. And I would think she'd have to, but it was really strong. She definitely would call you out. She would let you know exactly where you stood. You knew exactly if you, you know, like me, if I was wearing something in school and she didn't like it, she'd be the first, nah, that doesn't look good, doesn't match, you know, this, that. She was definitely one to, you know, tell me if I had gained a few pounds and it's really time to cut off on the snacks. That was a real, you know, a big thing for my mom. She really...
was honest. Like brutal honesty?
So honest. Like almost brutally. Like she was like, oh my goodness. You know, which is very, you know, definitely, if you wanted an opinion, you just had to ask her and she would absolutely give it to you. But the one of my, you know, I have like two really strong memories from high school about my mom. One is my friends were always around. You know, and that was wonderful things about going to like the reunion. You know, hearing stories about my mom or even my dad, you know, that I had forgotten. You know, one of our high school friends told me how my mom, they were just sitting down and my mom took the potato chips and kind of dumped it on the table and it's like, oh, so much easier to do it this way. That way we get to pick what we want. We eat everything that we are. You know, and it stuck with one of my high school, you know, friends. And she's like, I remember your mom doing that and then throwing some M&Ms in it because it tasted really good. You know, you like the salty in there.
Oh, that's cute.
And I just started to laugh. I was like, God, I don't remember her doing that. She's like, yeah, you may not have been home because I could have gotten there before you did. And I was waiting for you. And your mom's like, let's have a snack. You know, and then the best was, I think I turned 18, and I think we could drink when we were 18, but all my friends may not have been 18. So, of course, we didn't have alcohol before we were 18.
Never.
So, never crossed our lips. So my mom called, I was going to have a sleepover, and my mom called all my friends who were coming over, their parents, because she was going to serve alcohol, and she wanted them all to know. And I wanted this one particular drink, a White Russian, and she had no idea how to make it. She called up Leo's, asked the bartender how to do it.
Oh, that is so cool. But as long as everyone was on board, everyone was 18 or the parents knew. Wow, that's great.
It was, I just like, and this, actually when you and I started talking, I was like, oh, I got it. And I just remembered that. I was like, wow. I forgot she did that. And we're all drinking these White Russians like we're so cool because she, and literally I remember her on the phone with Liam's going, hi. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm mortified that she's doing it. My friends think it's great. And I'm like, I'm going to die right now. And then I remember saying to them, you can't tell anyone in school that we did this.
Good for you. Oh my gosh, how cool is that? It was your 18th birthday and
yep.
She was very responsible, that's for sure.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So how much of you is your mom? And I'm not talking about alcohol things.
Right.
But
I'm not quite as outgoing or as friendly as she is. I'm a little bit more reserved like my dad. As I get older, I'm becoming more so. Like I'll see my son and I will go for a walk, and I see someone or a baby or something, and I make like a little noise, or I'm like, oh, look at how cute. And I remember my mom doing this, going, and I'd be with her going, oh, my God, I'm just going to die of embarrassment right now. Why can't she just walk past someone without saying hello or how are you doing? And I find myself now as I'm getting older, I'm doing the same thing, and I see my son putting his head down. I'm like, did I just embarrass you? Did you not like me doing that?
I think every mother is laughing at that one because I think we're all guilty. I know I am. They're like, Mom.
I'm totally, you know, so it was that's, and I see her strength. I definitely have my mother's strength to really get through really difficult times in my life. You know, you just kind of plow ahead. And that's something that she instilled in me. She, you know, I saw it. I lived it with her. She never let you see or sweat. Never. She could be really having a very, very difficult time. Things could not be going her way, but never knew it.
But why did she feel she had to do that? I mean, it's very admirable.
When my dad, when my dad died, you know.
For you, and so she did it for you.
Yeah, for me, like financially, if which I don't, I never knew, or, you know, if things were a little tight, or, you know, if something was a little bit more expensive, or she'd always figure out a way to do it, you know, and never, and she'd, there was never an issue of wanting or needing anything. You know, she always, she, like, stayed the course. She was really, and that's something that I totally admire her for. She always, like, had the stiff upper lip, but in such a loving way that it was, that she wasn't non-approachable. Mm-hmm. You know, she was that grandmother who would run and, you know, kids would, like my daughter's friends, when she was picking my daughter up from school, kids would run right over to her, give her a hug, and they called her Mimi. That's what my daughter called her instead of grandma, was Mimi. And she'd remember that, you know, Christina liked Sunny Dew, so she had Sunny Dew for Christina, and Thomas liked Twizzlers, so she had Twizzlers. Now, these are just my friend's children. They're not, you know, and they're going home from school, and they'd be like, Mimi, do you have my Sunny Delight? And like, she's like, oh, absolutely, I do. Here's one for you. And
well, she was everyone's grandmother.
Right. She really, you know, she always made you feel like you were the most important. And that I'm trying to do, because that's a huge asset, that you're the most important person right here.
Yeah, that's pretty great. And how much of that, of what your mom taught you, did you instill on your children?
Well, I'm trying to, you know, I see it with my daughter. My daughter's a nurse, and you can see that, you know, with the empathy and things like that, you know, which is great. And I just see, you know, my son with, he's wonderful with little children, and he's wonderful with, you know, the older people, and you can just see that, you know, when I'm not around, how friendly, you know, and how he, you know, in his own element, which is awesome.
Sure. Well, hopefully it all trickles down, right? If it's the right energy. Now, the flip side of all this admiration and this, you know, the stiff upper lip, did you ever see her break down and cry? I mean, was she emotional?
Absolutely. She was like the, you know, when my dad died, she was, you know, but it's funny you say that, because now when I'm really thinking about it, it really wasn't so many times. You know, when my dad died, she cried. I mean, she definitely was an emotional Italian, but not to the point where, you know, I ever saw her really just lose it. Mm. Where
she was entitled to, right? She was entitled to. As I would, I'm sure.
God. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
She's
stoic. She was, but, you know, not in a way that made it where you were just, you didn't want to be with her. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, not in a way that would put you off.
That's, you know, the difference. That's the great difference, right?
You know, she was very warm, very emotional, where you know, you were comfortable with her, and you could tell her anything, but she definitely, and she would share of herself with me, especially as I got older, but not to the point like where she really, you know, she was of a mentality, if there's something bothering you know, you go and you cry and then you're done. Hmm. You know, that's it, and you move on.
Did she?
For herself.
For herself.
Oh, I could be a drama queen.
I don't know how my dad, there were six girls and one boy, and I don't think we were drama queens, but I could just be, you know, have a
lapse of memory. Oh, I definitely was a drama queen.
Oh,
I was such a drama queen. Wow, six, wow, that's great for your parents. Wow, that's awesome.
But we were out cutting the lawn when my brother was inside sleeping, too, so, and he was older than, so, you know, we were pretty cool kids. He had it, that's another whole episode. Did your mom ever go to college?
No, she did not.
So what was her childhood, her teenhood like? What was expected of her?
Well, you know, it was expected of her to get married. You know, I guess, get a job, you know, get married, have children. And that's kind of, you know, she met my dad. She worked for him for a while. And then one day they were riding on the Long Island Railroad, and my dad put his hand on her knee and said, we're going to get married. No fancy proposal, no nothing. And my mother looked at him and said, oh, okay. And then when
Wait, he must have had a ring. He was in the jewelry business. He must have had a ring.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And then when my grandmother met my father, she said, you know, that's awesome, but you're going to spend your later years alone. And she did.
Oh, it's terrible to say something like that, grandmother.
Grandmother. And my grandmother was wonderful, but, you know, she said, I think he's great, but just realize he's older.
She was worried.
Later years.
She was worried for her daughter.
Right.
And any concern that he wasn't Italian?
No, she didn't care.
She didn't care.
No. I mean, not that I knew. It could have been, but not that I knew. Not that I knew. I don't believe so. I think, you know, from what I remember of my childhood with my dad and my family, you know, he was a big joker, and my grandmother got along really well with him. And, you know, we'd have family vacations with my cousins, and we all had a great time. My dad was really kind of, he was definitely not the disciplinarian. That was my mother. If you got my father angry, you knew you did something, like, massively wrong. Like, huge. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there was
Do you remember?
Issue.
Do you remember a time he got mad at you?
Once, and I don't remember what I did, and, banged the table. I remember this like I can see it, and the coffee, like he had a coffee cup on the table, and it kind of like shook and jumped, and my mother just looked at me and she said, I think it's time for you to go to your room. And I was like, yeah, I got no problem with that. And I just,
I had no idea
what I did. But I, like, I remember as a child, I got angry at my mother for something. She was annoying me about something, and I ran away. I took my stuffed animal, I had my suitcase, and you know, I ran down the block, and then, like, you know, 5 minutes later, my father said he came looking for me. Literally, I was, like, two houses down. It's like, you know, what do you think? Your mom may be alone, maybe a little sad without you, you know, and without us, because I can't leave you alone, and I'll never forget this. And I looked at him, he said, let's go to Baskin and Robbins, and we'll discuss what your mother did. Come on, I'll get the car, we'll go to Baskin and Robbins, and we sat down, and we had ice cream. But in his wisdom, he was telling me, as I'm stuffing my face with ice cream, what the actual issue was and the problem and what exactly happened. And that's the way he would do it.
How neat is that? What a great perspective on life, huh? And,
right,
and
like instead of yelling and screaming,
yeah.
Right, let me just sit down and explain it to you. And it helps that you're giving me Rocky Road ice cream, which I absolutely love before dinner, because that's like a no-no anyway.
Now, did your mother have to approve that, or he just
no,
was able
just,
to do it?
No, he just, you know, got me in the car, waved at her. I remember she gave me a look. I was so angry at her. She gave me a look. I gave her a look, and I almost thought I was cool. I'm like, yep, he's on my side. We're out of here, you know, and it just, but literally, he was obviously, because they were very united.
Uh-huh.
He never could play one off the other, and he was delivering her message in his way.
So it wasn't mom's always right. This is kind of how it, this is what it's all about. So you have a perspective.
Right, exactly.
That's pretty cool.
Which really, and again, as I'm older now, I see that's really such a good way, because I know it's a really good way to do it, because I know when I start to scream, you know, it turns off, like people turn, well, my kids, when they were younger, that's it. They're done.
They just close down, right?
They close down.
Absolutely the truth. I wish I knew that when my kids were younger, too.
I know, so do I. I'm like, why are you not listening to me when I'm screaming at you? I know it now, but back then.
I guess we had a lot on our plates then, as all moms do, right?
Yes.
I had asked you if you had ever gone to college, and we were talking about your son, and the two of you had a similar feeling about school. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. So I was, you know, I was an okay student. I wasn't great. And, you know, I was going away to college. I went to Curry College in Milton, Massachusetts. And I didn't like it. So I was done. You know, I came home and, my mom was like, you know, the one thing your father wanted, because my dad had passed by this time, was for you to get an education. I was like, yeah, no, I don't need it. So my son, you know, and which is truly probably one of my biggest regrets, only getting a year of college. So my son, you know, was in Garden City High School, did well, you know, average student, whole nine yards. Wasn't really loving school. So he did a year in Nassau, and he said to me, I'm done. And we had a major disagreement about it, like major, major, major. And he took the semester off, which I was like, you got to go back or you're getting out, you know, or getting you got to get a job or this. I was really, like, losing my mind. Or maybe, yeah, he did. He took a semester off. It was probably a little bit of the fall semester, but then he started doing online classes. And now he's graduated and went back. He graduated, and now he's at Hunter College getting his master's.
For teaching, right?
For teaching, right, which is very funny for teaching because here's the guy who hates school or hated school now wants to become a teacher.
But that's perfect. Because he
yes.
knows what it's like for kids, but
exactly.
it doesn't. Everyone doesn't gel and learn the same way.
Right.
So that's brilliant.
It's just so funny. You know, like I look and I laugh about it, and I was like, I can't, you know, looking back, and actually, you know, for both of us, it was probably a really good, at the time, it was like the worst thing in life to be going through this with him, but now when you look back, you're like, well, there had to be a reason, and he kind of had to find his path.
Right. Should have listened to my mother.
I know. Listen to my mother. You see, it's funny. That's when you say, gosh, you know, that something like that is like, why aren't you here to help me with this? Because you would help me navigate this craziness.
Do you still talk to your mom every day?
Oh, absolutely. In my mind. Or I'll do something that reminds me of her, or I'll say something, or she's still right about something. And I was like, you know, it's really annoying that you're still right about this, you know, and yeah, I talk to her a lot. I talk to my dad. You know, it's funny, after all these years, because my mom, that was one thing that was great with my mom. She instilled, like, to me, and this is just a memory of a person doesn't die if you don't let their memories die. So my mom instilled so many memories of my dad in me. And then because I'm close to my cousins, they have memories of him, so I hear it. So in the same with my mom.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's just, you know, when I hear, you know, one of my cousins saying, well, do you remember when she did this? Or do you remember when, you know, Uncle Walter did that? You know, it's just, it's very neat. And the thing is I love that she distilled, you know, she instilled, rather, family in us, how, in me, how important family is. And I'm so blessed. I'm so close to my cousins. And it's like they're really more siblings. And I've also, you know, my sister, we've reconnected. Which is great, you know.
Oh, that's
now,
great. That's
so it's
fantastic.
Really, yeah, so it's really, you know, it's like you see really what's really important, and family is really important.
Totally agree with you on that one. I mean, that's something that my parents did from the get-go. Family
yep.
was number one.
Yep.
Which always, is awesome. Always, always.
Yep. And since you have so many brothers and sisters, which is great, so it means sisters and brother, which is awesome.
Right.
Which is awesome.
And you have your cousins, which is
yep.
family, right? Immediate
yep.
family, like you say. And if your mom was trying to tell you how much she believed in you or supported you, is there a certain way that she would talk to you or explain things to you?
Yeah, like if I was having a pity party where I couldn't, you know, this isn't working or that's not working, she'd look at me in only my mother's tone, because my mother had a tone, as I'm sure all mothers did. And she would say, you're a gust, and you absolutely have this, and of course you're going to succeed. And that was it. And literally, that was
that
the
was
end.
It.
And that was it.
She's laying down the law.
She's laying down the law. That's the way it was. You know, this is the way, and you know what? 9 times out of 10, she's right, because if you just get so absorbed in it, you're just like, oh my goodness. You know, she definitely, like I said, she would speak what's on her mind. But she had that, you know, she would never sugarcoat it. It was never like, well, darling, you're definitely going to, you know, it'll be a chat. She's, no. She's coming. She's telling you exactly what she thinks, exactly. And that's what you do.
And did you raise your kids the same way?
They probably disagree. I think I'm a touch softer with that. Like, I don't, but I think my daughter would totally disagree, and so would my son.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing, isn't it? So was if you get knocked down, you get right back up. Your mom's
right,
philosophy.
You just, exactly. You kind of wipe yourself, you know, wipe your butt up, and you keep on trying, because what's the worst thing that happens? You never want to say, I should have.
Wow. My guest is Sue Gust Fields, and we've reconnected over many, many years. We're listening to her stories of her mother, Anne, who died back in 1998. And we're reminiscing about the strengths and the ideals that our parents had and how they help one another. And that's what Should Have Listened to My Mother, my podcast, is all about. I'm Jackie Tantillo. So, was she social?
To an extent. You know, a little bit. But, she was social with her, you know, she had a few close friends. But once I had kids, you know, that her world was my children. She wouldn't go out because she'd be watching, you know, two kids all day. And, you know, she was older and her health wasn't in the best, but she'd still, you know, she'd be at the pool all day long. And, you know, and then she'd come home and then they'd have dinner, they'd have shower. This was all before I got home from work. So when I got home in the summer, my kids were all ready, you know, they were ready for just a relaxing evening because she felt that I worked hard. And at the time, my ex-husband was a police officer, so he, you know, he had different hours, so he worked hard as well. So or he'd sometimes spend time at the pool with her. So by the time she'd go home, she would be too tired to really do anything.
She'd definitely be exhausted. I'm exhausted after getting two kids at the pool all day out in the sun running around.
Exactly. But, you know, she loved doing it. It was really her thing. You know, she got her table at the pool, and it was just, you know, she had friends, like, you know, that had kids my kids' age and, you know, who were my friends, and they all kind of did the whole thing, and it was just really, it was great for my kids.
Oh, how lucky. That's so really, really neat. Now, you just referred to your work, you getting home from work. You had some pretty neat experiences. You did a full year of college.
I did a full year of college.
Okay, right. So then you have to go get a job. Your mom said right. You have to go get a job.
I have to go get it. So I worked in Macy's in the shoe department, which was oh so exciting. And that's where I met my first husband. And then after that, I worked at Sports Illustrated for 18 years.
And what were you doing there?
I was the production manager, which was great before, you know, big magazine decline and you know, a bunch of job eliminations. And then I started in banking, kind of reinvented myself, and now I'm a banker.
Just like your mom had to reinvent herself.
Exactly. Yep. And so, that's where I, you know, it's funny, you kind of become a chameleon. Exactly. Just like my mom. And
good,
you know what?
You.
I didn't even think of that till now you said that.
Good for you, Sue. Now, what was your mom's role when you were in the process of, or at least thinking of, divorcing your first husband? What kind of role did she play for you there?
My mom wasn't alive. It was funny.
After.
It was after my mom died in 98. And so right, like within a span of 5 years, my mom died, I got job eliminated, and I got divorced. So that's where I think my mom's strength really helped me get through that whole tumultuous time in my life and come out stronger. And it's funny because I always say my husband now is really a gift from my mom because he is just, he's incredible. So I really think she had a little hand in doing what she was doing up in heaven. I believe that. And she kind of, because he's just great.
So she's still helping you along. She's still by your side.
Absolutely. And, you know, some people may think that's crazy, but that's really the thought that kind of keeps me, you know, going. Because to lose your mom and even your dad at such a early stage in your life, you kind of want to think that they're still with you, and I believe that they are.
Oh, I feel the same way that you do. Every minute I'm talking to my parents, and they're both gone, so they're... Sometimes it's silly, but my one uncle who we were very close with, I like almost go to pick up the phone to call him still. Oh my gosh, it's like 25 years later. They're so vivid to me. And I hope that everyone or many, many people feel the same way because it is such a, you're losing the physical body, but you're not losing their soul is how I look at it. So I take them with me wherever I go.
Yeah,
I might be crazy talking to myself all the time. You know, people might think I'm nuts, but I'm having a wonderful conversation. So as long as I'm happy,
exactly, that's all that really matters.
What difference does it make?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. So did you have any other personal stories? Did you used to cook with your mother?
No, I never really. It was funny. That was my mom was an okay Italian cook. She was a much better German cook. My dad was he was German, so my mom picked up a lot of that. She used to say, come look and see what I'm doing. And I'd be like, nah, it's okay. I don't really need to. And all that stuff that she did, because she used to make, like, you know, all the, like, a mean pepper steak and an unbelievable, you know, stew and soup and all this stuff. My daughter actually can do a few of her recipes, because she paid more attention than I did. I just ate it. I didn't pay any mind on how it was being made.
Oh, good for her. That's great. So she didn't cook Italian food for your dad? Or he just preferred German food?
She did, but it wasn't really her. Like, my aunts could really cook the unbelievable. Like, my mom didn't make the homemade, you know, sauce. First came out of a jar. And she'd doctor it up. That's what she'd say. Well, you throw a little this in, a little that, it tastes the same. Whereas my aunts would never do that.
Spend days cooking the sauce, the gravy.
Yeah, that's just like, you know, my mom was like, I'll go get a little. I think it was, I can see the thing. Ragu. Or something else. Oh, Aunt Millie's. They don't make it any, you know, Aunt Millie's, throw a little stuff in it. Yeah, it's fine. It tastes good. My aunts wouldn't touch it. That's why when they'd come, you know, one of my aunts would come over, they'd be like, we'll cook. We'll cook, you know, we'll do the Italian.
Oh, that is very cool. Oh, my gosh. So I looked in our yearbook. Do you remember the quote you put in your yearbook, in the yearbook?
Sure. Happy are those who dream dreams and are ready to pay the price to make them come true. Isn't that sad? I remember that after 40 years.
Wow, very good. And it's L.J. Cardinal Sunens?
Mm-hmm.
Sunens?
Yep.
And yep. How did you know that? How did you know that quote?
Because I had, you know, went to Roosevelt Field, I forget, maybe Pier 1 or something, or World Imports or whatever was at the mall, and I had a poster. And I was like, wow, this is really a cool quote. That's what I'm going to do.
Happy are those who dream dreams and are ready to pay the price to make them come true.
Right.
So cool.
Yep. So cool. I mean, such a quote back then, so deep. It was because I liked the way it looked on a poster.
You know what? Whatever affects you or hits you in the right way, who cares where you found it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sue Gust Fields, thank you so much for joining me. It's been really, really awesome. Wonderful sharing these stories of your mom, Anne. And I know that you miss her. But look at the influence she's had on you and your children and your friends. And that's just remarkable. A legacy like that for a woman who probably just thought she was doing the best that she could.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon, I'm sure. I'm Jackie Tantillo. Don't forget, you can check out my Should Have Listened to My Mother page on Facebook or Instagram. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Should Have Listened to My Mother.